Good evening. Thank you for coming and again allowing me to share with you what I have in my mind. I was thinking, can my experience be something useful for them? I was asking the Holy Spirit, please help me, show me and remind me the things that you want me to share with them. That was my prayer when Pastor Brad was praying for us. This evening, I would like to share with you my life journey from my birth up to this time. So I believe I will make it brief because, you know, it's a lot. So to begin with, I was born in the northern part of the country, Ethiopia. My mom had a little business and my father was a farmer, and their religion was Ethiopian Orthodox, that is Coptic Orthodox. They have the pure doctrine that is based on the Bible, but through times, through this, like, that Christianity has come to Ethiopia in the 3rd century, even before that. So very early, even before America was discovered. And my family were member of this religion. So the Coptic Orthodox is the Egypt Orthodox, and maybe similar to the Russian Orthodox. So Egypt was like a mother for the Ethiopian Orthodox. Egypt, they sent the patriarchs. They anoint the patriarch or the head of the church, and they sent from Alexandria, from Egypt, to Ethiopia. That's how it was. But in 1960s, the Orthodox Church became independent, and it started to nominate its own leader, its own patriarch. So that church has really been very long in its existence in the country, and it has a great role, I mean a major role in the country's cultural, educational, economic, in every aspect of the people and the country. And that church was able to repel Islam. I mean, it was burning the churches, many people were killed, but they strengthened themselves and they fought against the back. And if you see the map, the highland, the central highland of the country are Orthodox, but the lowland are Muslims. Why? They were defeated and converted to Islam. So until very recently, Orthodox has been very dominant. But from Orthodox, missionaries came from Europe, from America. They preached the good news. There are famous missionaries who came from America to Ethiopia. And now the evangelicals start to, you know, grow. And the from Orthodox, many evangelicals started to come out. This is, I think this is a long story. But when I was young, I was one of the devoted Orthodox believers, because my fathers are. I inherited the religion. However, one occasion when I was 13 years old, maybe 13 or 14 years, I have one slide I will show you, a picture. Did you? Yeah, this is called Tabot. Can you say it? Tabot. Tabot. It's like the Ark of Covenant during the time of Moses. So they believe that this ark or tabut is a representation of the presence of God. So people worship this. And you cannot approach, like you will follow this tabut like 200, maybe 1,000 feet away. And it is believed that if you get closer, you'll be killed. So people are afraid. The priest and the deacons are the only ones who can get closer, and the priest, with a lot of religious ritual, will start to carry. So I was very much devoted, and I wore the clothes for the deacons, and I was able to access, you know, to associate, to accompany the tablets. When they carry it, they have ceremonies, they have celebrations. This is the only slide I have for you. So, however, what happened, there are two assumptions. The people, they go in the church, in the Orthodox Church, and they steal these tablets from the church. They stole. Many of the tablets were stolen, and they were put in individuals, especially those business people. Why were they stealing? There are two assumptions. One is they believe that this tablet has a lot of gold because Moses' ark had gold. That is how they believe. But when they found that it didn't have gold, they, in evening, in darkness, they come out and destroy it. And another assumption is that you may not know that the Ark of Covenant, which was with Moses, was, the Orthodox people tell that it is in Ethiopia. So the Jews are searching for the Ark. So they send people undergroundly, and they search all over the sanctuaries, all over the churches. So that's why this tablet is stolen. One day, while I was swimming in the water, I found one of the tablets thrown into the water. I was shocked. Something unimaginable. I mean, my worldview turned upside down. So what I did, before any other people see, I took my jacket and I wrapped it. And I took it to the priest. And I tried to approach the priest, and he said, "Well, you kid, go away." He said, "No, no, no. I have something to show to you." And he said, "What's that?" I showed that. And he said, in the name of the Father, the Holy, and the Holy Spirit, and the Son. He said, like, in Amharic, "Basma'am Wildoman first kadus." And he was shocked. And he asked me, "Where did you find it from?" "I found it in a river." Many people ran to that river. They didn't find any other. But that night, I went to my father. I asked, "If really this is God, why did he allow people while they are stealing?" I asked my father and said, "It's difficult. I can't answer you," he said. And my mom said, "No, this tablet is made of wood. It is not God." She said, "Okay, it's God, it's wood. So from now on, there is no God." So I denied the existence of God. And that time was communism. So I became a communist. When I learned, I study Marxist-Leninist philosophy, Marxist-Leninist booklets, I became very famous communist. And I see those who have religion are idealists. They are believing in something that is not existent. So for me, something that is visible or touchable is the only real. Beyond that, there is no reality. There is no God. That is how I was saying. After that, I went to a college. And while I was in second year of my college study, two young girls came to me. I was walking on the asphalt, and they came to me and they said, "I don't know, I think God has led them there." They came and they said, "Would you like to come to our house? We will invite you tea." "No, no, I don't want tea, but I want music." I told them, "I want music. Do you have that?" "Yes, yes, we have." But they don't have. But to trap me, you know, to take me home. So, "Yes, we have." Then I reached, and I was in a hurry to listen to the music and to dance. But they said, Okay, we will bring. And one of them started telling about Jesus. I couldn't understand. And then she brought a New Testament book. And she said, do you know this? No. I don't know this book. Is it a kind of witch doctor or witchcraft? Because I don't know the Bible. I don't know about Old Testament, New Testament. But I had a religion formerly. So they gave me that book. Would you like to read it? Yes. I took it to my campus, to my dormitory, and started to read it. And when I started reading it, I was very happy. I have never seen such a peaceful and happy night in my life. And the following day, I ran to them and asked, please allow me to read this. Do you like it? Yes. And I started reading, and my life started to change. Hallelujah. So I don't know when I am changed. But I sense as I read, and then they took me to underground church. It was communism. I saw many people. Wow, even old people. I was amazed. This is something I never expected. And I joined in the prayer underground while I was in college. And then what happened? After I finished my studies, I was a teacher, high school teacher of geography. So I went there as a teacher. It was communism. I found very few people, teachers, who are believers. And I met them underground. And we started praying, studying the Bible. After we come from class, our work is praying and reading the Bible. So one night, there was a young girl. She was possessed by evil spirit. So my friends, they asked me, shall we go and pray for that girl? She's a student, one of our students. They said, no. I have never prayed for such a person. I told them, no, please come. We will watch outside. We will stand outside. You go and pray for her. What shall I say? Say in the name of Jesus. Okay. Not believing, but, you know, hesitant. I went in, and she was silent, as if she were dead. And her family were sitting in the salon, and she was lying in her bedroom. So I went there. I did not pray. I said only, in Jesus' name. And I repeated again, in Jesus' name. Quiet. And I repeated again, in Jesus' name. And then she started to scream. Wow. This was my first time. I have never seen that. She started to scream. I was happy because I saw the name of Jesus, you know, working. And I rebuked. Because God was very gracious. Maybe in 5 minutes, that girl was freed. And all the people in the salon, maybe there are 15, they were amazed. So I went out, proud. Very proud. And I said, tonight, look, this girl is healed. So will you give your life to Jesus? Yes. They could not see me with their eyes. They knelt. All of them knelt. And I prayed for them. And that was the time when I started my ministry. So all day long, we teach. During night, we come together. So what happened? As the students from the high school heard that people are receiving the Lord, during the night, they come to our houses. We pray for them. We study with them. But during the day, when we meet, we pass by as if we know each other. We don't know each other. You know what? The communists are watching. They see. One day, they called us to court. And they said, You are spreading your religion. They asked me. No, I'm not spreading my religion. I'm sharing what I know about the Bible. And they threatened me to make in prison. But because I am the teacher of their children, if they arrest me, their children will be without a teacher. So I knew that. And they know that. So I say, if people come and ask me about the Bible, I will teach them. But it is based on their will, I thought. after many dialogue, there was a lady, she was weeping, and she said, I will not betray Jesus. I believe in him. I will not deny him. She was weeping. Anyhow, they let us out. So during the night, we continued. And the number of the young people coming to Christ increased, even if it was communism. So what they do, when they go back to their families, they go in the countryside. Because it is a high school, many children come from countryside. They walk 5 hours, 6 hours on foot. So when they go back to their village, they tell about Jesus. And their families started receiving Jesus. And now what happened? On every weekend, I travel, visiting those new believers. I teach. I don't know. I didn't know why I'm doing that. I'm not educated. I don't know the Bible well. There is no theology at that time, no theological school. No. I take one verse, like I read it, whether it is, what is the context, what is the background, nothing. There are times when I read, improper verse. Something I pull out. But when I read, I tell you, people are blessed. They worship Jesus. And I had that passion. And God multiplied. In two years, there were 48 new churches started underground. When communism came and when communism fell and this new government came, people flocked to the church without invitation. Many people. And currently there are more than 200 churches, tens of thousands of believers. I was very blessed. But I don't say that I am that much strong Christian. Because until very recently, I want my own ways, my own plan. Yes, I preach, but my own thing. And I want to be a politician. And I went to a very famous university and registered for political science and international social relations, PSIR. So I went there, I registered there. But before I went there and I registered there, while I'm traveling, I tell you, God's protection. Many times I have seen. One day, in our church, we preached with my friend. He's a pastor now of that church. And in the afternoon, we are supposed to go 2 hours on foot for a wedding. And after we finished our program at our house, out our town, we ate our lunch and start our journey. So there was very big forest, very wide forest. And it was like in April, which is very sunny in Ethiopia. While we were going, when we reached in the middle of the forest, a huge fire that swept very quickly was surrounding us. I told him, now this is the end. Now we are going to, be burned out. What should we do? And he said, now we should run. Let us run. Powerful. We ran and ran and ran. And the fire was running. We were running. At the very end, we jumped onto a road. It's like a stony kind of road. It doesn't have trees. So I jumped and he jumped. We fell faint. And the area that we were walking was completely run over by the fire. And my friend, he was coughing maybe for a week because of the smoke. So I have experienced it a lot. Anyhow, whatever, I was experiencing the joy, the fellowship, and I knew God has something in my life, but I wanted my career, and what I did, I decided to quit my job of teaching and to leave that area and to come to Addis, the capital city of Ethiopia, and to pursue my degree and the field which I wanted. So before I went, the night before I started my journey to Addis, I was praying. When I pray, the Lord said, no, don't go. I need you here. Aha. It was difficult. I have decided. Even I have sold every property. My every property. And I also prayed the morning. In the morning, the Lord said, don't go. I need you here. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And then Pastor Michael and Anno, Ngeda and Kabene, I told to them, the Lord said, don't go, but I have decided to go. No, 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 you should not go. No, I have decided to go. Then I decided and I went. I had my money in my pocket. All my property is in my pocket. And I went to Addis, I registered. But when I go to programs, different kind of fellowships, people come. My brother, where did you come from? I don't know where you came from, but the Lord speaks to me. Go. Return. I get angry. No, I will not go. So even I started to hate the people who bring the message. And wherever I go, the Lord speaks to me. I have no peace. I became restless. But still, I insisted on my decision. I want to be a politician. I want to be a diplomat. I don't want teaching no more. This was my plan. But they said, no. I struggled. So one day, I was traveling by a bus to take my last salary to come to the university. And while I was going, there was a bus. Here was a driver, and here beside him I was sitting. There is a magazine which we were receiving from U.S. I don't know where the state is from, but it says Herald of His Coming. A lot of teaching, a lot of testimonies. I was reading, and I saw a different noise. And when I closed and see, the bus was running to a bridge. A very huge, tall bridge, and that was rainy season. It was in June, rainy season. And what I saw is gua, gua, gua. And in a moment, I said, this is the end of my life. I am disobeying God. So now I'm gone. This is what I said. I'm dead. After that, I don't know where I am, but the people like inverted. And the front mirror was dropped, and people were rolling from back to the river. There were children, they were taken away by river. Especially there was a person who was not, like, he didn't have blood. I mean, he didn't bleed. He didn't. You don't see the damage. But immediately he was dead. I don't know what he hit him, but he died. I don't know how I went up to the bridge. I was standing on the bridge. And here I have a very big scar until now. And here also I have a very big scar. And blood was gushing. I know. You see. Blood was gushing out of my head. And I think I came out of the water, but I was standing. So I heard a certain girl saying, oh, here he came out. He is alive. God has delivered him from death. This is what I heard. Ah, I remembered. Oh, am I not dead? This is what I say. I started rejoicing. Oh, I'm not dead. Praise God. I'm not dead. And you see, that day, I was very happy. Because I didn't die. I knew I didn't die. So as they took me to a hospital, and I was shivering. I mean, a lot of blood from my head and from my, and also I was soaked into water. So I was shivering. And the doctor said, "Oh, he is in a critical condition, so he has to be admitted to the hospital." And I said, "No, I'm fine. I'm normal. Help me. Give me first aid, and then I'll go home." "Are you serious?" "Yes. Praise God. Now God has delivered me from death." And when I say that, there was a nurse, which is a Christian. She took me to her room. "Are you a believer?" "Yes." "Wow, praise God. God has protected you." And she treated me well. And then I took my shirt and I bound my head, because this is like my hair is removed and it was sewn. So I went into a taxi. And in a taxi, there were about 12 people. They asked me, "What happened to you?" I told them, "There was an accident, but praise God, I am fine," I told them. And one of them was a Christian. She took some beer and she gave that money. "Please don't refuse me to accept this money, but I ask you, please ask God, why did this happen to you? He has a purpose. I mean, there is something that you learn." And when she told me that, I was awake. Oh, the Lord had spoken to me from the very beginning. Wow, I understood. And the same night, there was a person, he was preaching about from the book of Ruth. You know about Ruth. And finally, when he was concluding his message, he says, "If we go out of the will of God, we will be empty-handed," he said. "We will lose a lot," he said. I remember. I understood. I have lost a lot. And I was nearly to lose my life. However, still I said, "No. No, I will not go back there. If you kill me, kill me." How people's heart is very resistant. I was judging upon the Israelites when they are, you know, stubborn against God's voice. I found myself worse. So I refused. And then, because I didn't manage to reach by a bus, I took a small plane that carries about 16 people. Then I went. The town was called Debidolo. I took my salary. While I was returning, it was heavy rain. And the plane was... And the pilot say, there were two. One was a man and others were a lady. They sit and they stand. I mean, I saw them. And they said, "You can pray to your God." They say, and they were Muslims. They said, "Ya Allah, Ya Allah." And other Orthodox, they call the name of the saints, the name of the angels. Then I said, "Lord, I cannot flee from you. Now have mercy upon me. I will say okay to you. Please save me." This is what I asked while I was in the plane. "Save me. I know I cannot go out of your hands. I cannot flee from you. Now as I surrender." I repented. And by God's mercy, the plane, after maybe 25 minutes of swerving, we got into a light. And we landed safely. Then what I did, I took my luggage and went back to my original place. I went back. It was hard for me, but I went back and I started my job. And the believers, they were weeping. "Oh, good, you came. We like you, we love you, but you left us here. Welcome, we are happy that you came back." They were rejoicing. I was not. Because I didn't succeed. However, I found God's will was better. I didn't know God had a special plan on my life. What I know was my desire, my plan. So After like 3 years, I got married there. We got a child. And we built a house. Good progress. But before I got married, like it was like a week before I got married, one night I was tired. I was sleeping in my bed. I mean, I didn't fall asleep, but I was lying in my bed. An unforgettable occasion happened. I mean, it was like heaven. Half of the heaven coming up on me. And I cannot see the face of the man. He came with a bottle of oil. And he dropped here. And as he dropped in my forehead, I fell faint. And he returned. He didn't speak to me. Returned. And that moment, I never forget. That moment, I have never told to any person. I started telling this story from this past July. A unique experience. Then I started to think, God has a plan, different plan from what I have planned. Then we got married, and another day, after maybe a year, there were three people sitting in a very powerful light. They are discussing one another. I don't know what they were discussing, but I heard a voice. The voice is, run, run. This is one voice from these three people. And when I awoke, what do you mean, God? And the Lord spoke to me, this is the time to run. I have opened doors all over the country. You will run across the country, preach to many people. And I saw that dream, I was crying, a special kind of noise, and running. I found running in my dream. So I understood God has a plan. Then I started to pray and fast. The Lord told me, leave this job, leave this area. I need to you to many places. Then I told to my wife, the Lord spoke to me. What did he say to you? God has called me for mission. He wants me to run all over the country. She said, wait, what shall we eat? How shall we live? We have one son. Oh, you are right. That is a right question. Don't you think so? So I again knelt and I prayed to the Lord. Lord, how shall we live? And I heard one word. But actually in English it is two. I will help you. Maybe three words. I will help you. Three or four words. In Amharic is Radhallo. Can you say it? Radhallo. Come on. Radhallo. One word. I will help you. I told to my wife, yes, God has told me I will help you. Okay, she agreed. And for my preparation to work all over the country, I went to a Bible school. So that Bible school is not only, you know, learning theology, learning about the Bible. It is time of preparation. So because the Lord has spoken to me, I will help you, I believed that everything was easy, very simple. And I believe God will provide me a lot of money so that I will pay for my fee, I will pay for my family. This is what I expected. Then I joined the university, the Bible college. So in that Bible college, it was founded by Assemblies of God. Very powerful theological college. And that was the place where God really worked in my life. So I joined. You know Steve Pennington? He has come to this church. He was the first instructor. I tell you. And he was telling about missions. He was telling us, he was teaching introductions to mission. Where he teaches, I was burning. I don't tell him because he does not know me. But I burn from my... Yes, when shall I graduate from this school? This is what I say. However, things were not simple. God spoke to me, I will help you. And I joined the Bible college, but I didn't have money. No money to pay for the fee. And I asked the principal of the school, the Lord brought me here, but will you support, will you pay my fee? I don't have money. And he said, do you believe God has called you? It was a challenge. he said, if God has called you, let him provide with you. This is what he answered. Oh, you are right. I agreed. Still, there is no money. No money. And now, there came a list. Those who did not pay, they will be kicked out of the college by the coming Sunday. I mean, Monday. It was Friday. On Monday, I'll be kicked. So, I doubted. I came to this college and I decided to serve the Lord by my own. I am wrong. Maybe when I was praying, the one that spoke to me was not God. It was the devil. This is what I said. Then I called to my wife. I have made a serious mistake. And said, what is that? You know, I was not right when I leave my job. What happened to you? You know, there is nothing. Now I am going to, you know, send out of the school. And she says, no. You not doubt. Go on. Then it was Saturday. Starting from Saturday, I will not be there at the school. So what I did, I prepared all my luggage to withdraw from the school. I was during the night. Then as I was preparing, I didn't eat in the morning. I didn't eat my lunch because if I eat, I'll be in debt. So I want to be cleared without any debt. So I didn't eat all day long. So in the evening, like in the afternoon, I was preparing to leave during the night. And that was very hard for me. I mean, I thought what I have heard, what I have been experiencing is not from God. This was what I... But I remembered. The Lord has told me, I will help you. I went to my dormitory and I asked, Lord, you did this. You say this. Did you forget? This is what I said. Did you forget this? And I finished my prayer. Then I went out. When I was going out, there was a lady. She was passing by. And she called my friend. Please tell me, what happened to Dereji? This week, always, he comes, when I pray, he comes to my mind. What happened to him? And he told her, oh, he is going to, you know, send out of the school because he didn't pay his fee. Oh! She wept and she came. She had a very big purse. A lot of beer, and she said, I cannot pass by. This is the right decision. I'll give you. And she gave me money for my school fee and even much more for my pocket money. Something unbelievable. I tell you, I struggled. I went and I paid. And when I paid the money, where did you bring it from? They asked me. There is God. I said, he is the provider. I paid. However, let me finish this part. What happened? All I studied for 3 years. There is a credit hour transfer from my college. So they exempted me courses. So I finished in 3 years. So all the 3 years, there is no one. Always I struggled. Always. So in the end, I asked the Lord, when I was nearly to graduate, why did you make me suffer? Why? My friends have extra money. They have money for tea and for other things. But I have suffered it. Why did you make me suffer? And the Lord spoke to me, I want you completely to trust me. This is what I heard. Aha. From that day on, I don't fear. I am not afraid. I can, you know, I trusted God fully. And after I graduated, I started working in the national office as missions director. As the Lord spoke to me, I ran all over the country, north, south, east, west, maybe 500 missionaries. I was training and sending. I traveled to Germany for fundraising. They come and they help the church. A lot of work. God blessed me. But what I see, I did little. But because God has called me, He was blessing the work. He was, I mean, churches were expanding. When I started my work as a national director for missions, we were 720 churches. When I leave, after like 7 or 8 years, we were 2,009 big local churches. How the Lord blessed. So what I learned is, actually I was asking the Lord, I can't do that. I can't run all over this country. And the Lord was speaking to me, since I have called you, I will give you the grace. I will enable you to accomplish what I have called you for. This was what the Lord was speaking to me. I mean, a lot. I traveled to Djibouti. In Djibouti, there was a church that was terribly dismantled. I went there and I gathered them. Now that church is very big at this time. And they are even reaching the Djiboutians. Djibouti is constituted from two tribes, the Afar and Issa Somali. So the Somalis, that church is reaching the Somalis. The completely Muslim nation, Djibouti. And I tell you, if I do something here, the Lord blesses. I can't tell you I did this. But what I did is I obeyed God. Very happy. So it is at this time when I met Pastor Michael and Anne and Pastor Jim. I was in the national, as a national director, running many works, but I go there for translation. And I meet them. And I joined them. What I saw before, because I was willing to His calling, God was blessing my ministry. God was even blessing my family. I mean, my wife, she came from that far part to Addis. She learned medicine. She had a very good profession, very good income, but she left that and she became a businesswoman later on. And later on, she dropped that, and now she's raising a child. Anyhow, what I see is, in all of this, I see God's blessings. In all of this, I see God's hands. What I know I did is giving my life, saying yes to the call of God. In this ministry, I have seen a lot of blessing, a lot of protection, God's protection. I travel day and night. I train church planters. I visit churches. I had love, especially for the missionaries, for the church planters. I love them very much. And they feel that love. And because of that, they love me too. And in this ministry, in this work, I have seen God's protection many times. Many times, daily, I mean, very dangerous occasions I have faced. Like 2 years ago, let me tell you maybe this story, and then I'll finalize. Maybe a year ago or two, maybe a year and a half. I was coming from Gumus. I was by another vehicle. I left my vehicle there because there are other people who will travel there. So rather than you know, I want to save the fuel. So I went by that vehicle, and while we were returning to from that field to our home, it was dark. It was about 11 in the night. So the minibus, it was the driver was very quick. So what happened? There were people who were watching any vehicle that comes. They shoot the front tire. If you shoot the front tire, what will happen to the vehicle? It rolls. It rolls down. So I see the person here, and the vehicle is like very close, like 3 or 5 meters. And there was a very big lighting. We didn't know. We didn't expect. And the bullet, rather than hitting the front tire, it hit in the middle of the two tires. And the broken asphalt broke the mirror and get into the car. And the driver, he drove very quickly. What happened to you? No. We should go fast. What happened to you? Look what they did. And he showed us. And we asked him, what are they? I knew this place is very dangerous. And he said, God protected us. Then I was angry. No, we should go to the police. We should tell them, and then the police go and, you know, they have to capture them. And we went to the police. And do you know what the police did say? You are wrong, they said. Why? Not you, even we, cannot pass by that road this time. So God has protected you. Go to your house, they said. Many occasions. Other occasion, I was in the northwestern part, the northwestern border of Ethiopia. It was dark. And I wanted to travel some distance because I want to reach another area the following day. So, because it was border areas most of the time are there are, you know, items, goods, commercial items that are smuggled through. So that van had a, you know, contraband or black market. So and non-taxed, but it has to be taxed, but they hide. Then that taxi, that bus had a lot of items in that. So that's why they preferred traveling during night. I didn't know that. So he was driving very fast. It was dark. Because he was driving fast, amen. There on the asphalt, there was broken glasses. Broken. So they spread over the asphalt. Do you know why? It tears the tire. And then they can easily catch us and loot everything. Even they can kill. Very harsh people. Then he saw it was running over the glass. And he ran. And the tire, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Grr-grr-grr-grr-grr-grr. And he said, no, any one of you, you should not go out of the car. Because if you go out of the car, they will aim at you. Then what happened? He rolled. Like after my 10 meters, he opened the door. Run! I mean, oh Lord, will this be the end of my life? God protected us. Many occasions. So let me conclude this. Even if I denied him, even if I did not know God, now I was able to understand. Even if I was denying his existence, God tolerated me, God knew me, and God had a plan. Even if I did not understand, he was working through my life. God was preparing my life for this vast ministry. When I was a teacher, preaching, teaching, traveling, I didn't know. God was preparing me. I didn't know I am going to join with these guys. Now, Westerners, I had no idea, I have no plan. But God was faithful to his calling. I learned a language called Oromo. I learned their culture. Even if I went there as a teacher, God made me to be a missionary, a self-supporting missionary, a teacher and a preacher. In my high school, there were 28 teachers. Out of 28 teachers, 26 of them came to the Lord. We had a strong fellowship. And the director of the school, he schedules and he makes me free on Fridays because he knows I travel on the weekends. In all of this, even if I didn't understand the full plan of God, God was leading to his will, to his purpose. And God, I have seen in this calling, is faithful. He provided with everything I needed. In my ministry, there is nothing that I lacked. If I want a budget for missionaries, the Lord provides. If God speaks me to do something, the Lord provides. Pastor Michael and Anne are God's provision for Ethiopia. I was weeping for the Gumus people. Pastor Jim and his church is God's provision. I never planned to meet you because I didn't know you. But what I learned is once God has called you, he will take the whole responsibility. He will take the whole responsibility. And he blesses in all aspects of my life. This is what I learned. So maybe tonight, there are people who may struggle, who you have your desire to accomplish. Maybe God may not need that. I tell you, before you lose a lot, say okay to him. Amen? Say, I will. I will agree. This is what I tell you. Because I understood that his plan is far, far better than mine. My politics could have failed. But Jesus did not fail me. So those people, please, each one of you, listen. What is the Lord speaking to you? I believe he has a purpose to each one of you. He has a calling. You may not be a preacher, but you may be a prayer warrior. You may not be a prayer warrior, but you may be a good business person that brings blessings, resource for missions. Every one of us are in God's purpose, special purpose for his great commission, that Jesus would be exalted over the nations. So I tell you, listen to the Lord. Obey to him. That is the right way. That is the right choice for you to experience his blessings. God has blessed me in many ways. I have never dreamed to come to U.S. But it's because Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he is my leader. He is my, everything. If I were a teacher, a politician, I may not come to U.S. I may not live a joyful, peaceful, happy life. I may not have a wonderful family like this. But because I say, yes, God blessed me with many things. Thank you for listening to me. May the Lord bless each one of you. And may the Lord bless this church. You are God's gift to me. Pastor Michael always says, Betesab in Amharic, family. Betesab, family. God has made us family. We are one family in his kingdom. I believe in my calling. You are going to work with me with Touching Africa Ministries reaching many people, many souls. So I tell you, if you are going to encourage us, if you are going to pray for us, if you are going to back us in every resource that God provided with you, we promise you, we will work. We will reach many nations. We will win Ethiopia for Christ. All the borders of Ethiopia will be claimed for Jesus. Pastor Michael, could you come forward and share a pray for these people so that, thank you. God bless you.